Welcome back, guys, to the podcast. I'm your host, Beth Schild. If you haven't listened to part one with Nicole Miranda yet, you don't want to miss that part. Go back and listen there so then you can come back to this part two because this conversation just keeps going. Today, we're going deeper into how Nicole became Miss Hawaii, how she started recovering from burnout. She tells a lot of vulnerable stories, and I'm just so grateful that she wanted to share and that's how we feel safe to share our own vulnerability, right? When we hear it from other people. And she just does such a beautiful job of sharing. So we're going to talk about how she manifests and her story about becoming Miss Hawaii and a lot more. So if you loved part one, you're going to love this part even more. Here we go with part two. Welcome back. This is part two with Nicole. We have to continue because I want to continue to hear her story. It's so incredible. And thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing like the real stuff, you know? Okay. So we left off with you moved. You couldn't say no to anybody because you were a chronic people pleaser, a performer. You were exhausted and you found your soul, really wanted to live in Hawaii. So now you're there.
Now I'm there. And okay. Yeah, so I'm glad to share all of this because I feel like I'm at this stage in my life where it's finally all of these things that I did, achieved who I was, have got me to where I'm at now. And I'm very much in a place where I want to show people that it can go from the darkest dark to the lightest light because I, giving the listeners hope here, I am so happy, so aligned, so alive. Off all the, you know, like there is, I'm a completely different person now than who I was 5 years ago, you know, and there's.
Right. And people do need to hear that, like thinking about how you were in those burnout cycles and depressive cycles. And
yeah.
So share with us, how did you get off the sleepy pills and how did you kind of change things for yourself?
Yeah. So right away when I arrived here, first of all, again, everything I said about the vacation trip, it was like me moving into my dream. It literally felt like a dream world. It's paradise. The weather is perfect. You know, we have rainbows every day and butterflies and nature. And so I got here and I just felt so alive, so right. Like there was this excitement all those months leading up to it. And then I got here and it was everything I hoped for and more. It really has been since the day I arrived. And I don't know if you know this about Hawaii, but they say it's a place that either like you come and it chews you up and it spits you out right away. Like the island rejects you if you don't match the energy or they don't want you.
Oh,
here.
Really?
Or it accepts you and it welcomes you and things fall into place. Yes. So there's a big thing about the Hawaiian islands because there's a lot of culture and history and, you know, we treat the aina, the land, like it's part of our family, ohana, right? There's all these traditions and ways that local Hawaiians are raised with really treating the land with respect and it nurtures you if you nurture it. So there's a lot of, they call it mana, which is energy here in Hawaiian. And there's good energy here, but there's a certain energy of people that doesn't necessarily match. And I was very, very lucky and so, so grateful to these islands that it embraced me with a warm hug. I mean, yes, there were hiccups. It wasn't perfect, but I mean, I found a great apartment. I started this job that had like cool coworkers. I found an apartment that was walking distance from the job while I was waiting for my car to get here. You know, I was meeting friends so easily. And I think it was also my own energy because I was feeling so alive, so aligned, so happy. I was just
absolutely your energy. Yeah.
Yeah. So right away, things fell into place, I would say, in every area except for this job that I took. So I'm now in a new sales career and I was on the weekends thriving, right? And even the first month I was here, I didn't have to go straight in. I had a couple weeks before I had to go straight into the job. So I was hiking a lot. I was out in nature. Nature became my teacher. I was really like just immersing myself in more simplicity and just a different way of living. I had a lot of, I stopped drinking the day that I moved here, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned
that. Did you just decide?
Yeah, I just decided that this is where I recreate my life exactly how I wanted.
Was that hard for you?
No, it was as easy as the decision to move to Hawaii. I've never had a sip of alcohol. Now it's almost 4 years, and I'll probably never drink again.
Wow. No, you didn't tell me that. And also what I'm wondering is, you know, nature is very healing, but like we're also, most people aren't taught about just being out in nature and what it can do for like your soul, your healing. Had you had that before where you felt the connection with nature? Because also when you're not believing in a higher power, like for me, when I left my organized religion, I kind of went into a dark night of the soul. Like, what do I believe? Is there anything? Because I don't believe this, but I didn't connect with nature until I kind of had my own spiritual awakening. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I have been missing out on nature. So like, was that new for you?
It was. So when I started going on vacations in like the year or two leading up to my move here, they were all to places with mountains and hiking. And I was starting to like really appreciate that. Okay. That's what lit me up. And that was kind of what drew, that's why I wanted to come to Hawaii. It had warm weather and mountains. So I really wanted to be hiking and doing more outdoor activities, sports. And that's what most of my friends do here. Like everybody, I started making friends that were really active. A lot of people that come to Hawaii, they come on a healing journey and or because they really want to be diving, scuba, swimming with the sharks, hiking mountains, rock climbing, right? And I didn't even know how much of a community there was for that, but it's that group of friends that I said I was missing in Tampa, right? I have a lot of single friends out here, and even the ones that are in relationships, I don't feel so like the outsider. I just had met a lot of people that were on the same page of what I was looking to do. So I decided, okay, Nicole's a non-drinker anymore. And that was like the line in the sand that I needed to draw for everybody. Because even when I go back and travel to Tampa, which I did many times in my first year because my job required me to go to the East Coast, my friends knew Nicole doesn't drink anymore. Nobody bothered me. But there had to be like this breaking point or like this, just this final moment. And I really don't feel like that ever would have happened if I stayed there, you know?
Wow. You must have started feeling so different by not drinking.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I instantly was, because I was getting to the point where I wasn't drinking as often, but my hangovers were getting really bad, even from like a glass of wine at dinner, I'd be sluggish the next day. And, you know, with my sleep issues and things, I was already struggling. I didn't need anything making me feel any worse in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was already just like this huge piece of the puzzle that, yep, I don't drink. Nobody's going to peer pressure me. I'm going to introduce myself as a non-drinker, even when I go to parties, and everyone's going to know I'm sober, you know, and I don't care what they think. That's who I am. And I remember it being kind of funny the first like month where I was like, yeah, I don't drink. And like, my roommate was like, what, how long? For 2 weeks? And I'm like, yeah, but I got to start somewhere.
You're like, this is my new identity.
Yeah.
That's funny. Wow.
So that was the start of the sobriety journey. I will say, and I don't know if you want to get into this, but I started to dabble with psychedelics, which also opened my mind up. That's something I never would have tried on the East Coast. And now I really believe in like mushrooms and plant medicine. I don't do it much anymore, but I just became like this new identity out here, really. I felt freer. I felt more open-minded. I felt like I was on this very rigid path before, and I was doing what everybody else wanted me. And I was just very exploratory in like all areas of my life. Like, who I want to be out here without all the noise, without all the societal pressure. Like, we're so isolated on these islands that it's even challenging like the East Coast is 6 hours ahead of us. So by the time I'd get off my work day at 5 or 6 p.m., everybody was sleeping over there. So even if I wanted to, which in the beginning I did feel a little bit lonely, I couldn't talk to people over there. So it was really just me deciding like, okay, I'm going to figure out what me, myself, Nicole Miranda, my heart, my soul, what do I really want out of life? And I'm creating that for
myself. Wow. And was that just so freeing for you?
It was so freeing. The not drinking was the best decision I ever made. I feel 10 years younger now than I did even 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Game changer for me. I started being around other non-drinkers and people that don't drink so aggressively. Mm-hmm. And it was just more about health and wellness and fitness and nature and, you know, just about the simpler things in life. The conversations here are almost never, what do you do? It's what hike do you do? What surf break are you? Like, it's almost never that. And it was just this whole new mindset shift of like, people don't care about, you know, your red bottom shoes and your Rolex and what car you're driving and what how. They just care about like enjoying life and being present.
Yes, totally. Yes. So do you feel like was your sleep, were you starting to sleep better? When did you?
No, not at first. I actually would say I was arguably sleeping a lot worse my first year here because I had a job that was, the headquarters were based out of the East Coast and they were flying me back and forth like every other month. So I was like in this phase of like barely adjusting to here, plus being super jet lagged, trying to learn a very new, like, I mean, this was a totally different industry. So I had to learn the company, the product, the program, my bosses, a whole new thing. So at this point, it actually got worse before it got better because I started taking, oh my gosh, girl. At this point, I started taking so much more Adderall because I was in this beautiful place that I wanted to experience and enjoy. But now I had to go into an office every day, learn this position for the first 6 months. And they wanted me in the office. They wanted me there at a certain time. I was all out of sorts with like the time changes. Yeah. And I really did not enjoy what I was selling at all. And my boss was awful, the worst person I've ever worked for. She was like, would tell me I was stupid for asking questions. Like, and I was just trying to learn and do the job, right? And I'm like still learning Hawaii itself. It's like being in a new country. So it actually got a lot worse because I was upping my Adderall dose just to even get myself out of bed to go do the job.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So the first year here, the weekdays were really rough. The weekends were amazing, but I was still, I would sleep because I took so much Adderall during the week and because I was working so much, I would sleep almost all day on Saturday still. Now it wasn't from a hangover, it was just from burnout, right? I would sleep till like 1-2 in the afternoon, go for a hike. I'd feel good on Sunday, go for another hike, and then I'd go right back at it. So I
was kind of still the same cycle, but just a looked a little bit different.
Minus the alcohol, and I was happier with my not so like, everyone didn't know me. I didn't have to do anything on, you know, like I had more, I felt like I had more freedom and time to myself.
Yeah. So it was baby steps.
So about 9 months and 7, 8, 9 months into that job, it was killing me. And it was just like, you know, they say, what is it? Wherever you go, there you are. I found myself falling into a lot of the same patterns. I was still taking the Adderall. I was still taking the sleeping pills. The weekends were like thrive, thrive, thrive in nature, but then I'd go right back to it. So
you can't run away. You can't run away fully from all that, right?
Right. And I realized I was still somebody that it's kind of crazy. So basically, I was around all these people that started opening my mind to a different way of living. I remember playing volleyball right across the street from where I live now. And all of these people were quitting their jobs and like going on a vacation or going to live their best life, right? Or like going to take a 3-month sabbatical. And I was like, screw this. If they could do it, why can't I? Right.
Yeah. So,
and I had, at this point, I'd saved up a lot of money for, at some point I did dream about taking a sabbatical, right? So I was now influenced the other way. Instead of stay in your job, I was like, screw this. Everyone else is doing it. I'm jumping on that bandwagon. So I decided to actually quit my job at that point.
Yes.
So I finally said, screw this. I did not move to an island on the middle of the Pacific to be more stressed out than I was on the East Coast in the United States. That is not why I came here. I came here to be in nature. I came here to enjoy life, and I'm done. So yeah, it was an easy decision for me. I hated that job. It was killing me. I was taking so much out. Like, it was just a nightmare in every way. And I decided, you know what? I've saved up all this money from working my tail off for so long. I lived well below my means most of my life just because I never really had the time to even spend it. And I always had this like kind of money I was saving and investing to, if I did ever take some time off, or I don't even know why, it's just kind of happened. Right.
Yeah. Like, which is amazing.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to take the time and just, I'm not going to have something else lined up. I'm going to spend some time having another giant exhale and figuring out like, what do I want to do with my life? Because this sales thing it's not it. It's it, you know, it's like I'm not functioning like a normal person. If I have to take this many pills to even get myself to go to my job, like that's not okay, you know? It's not sustainable either. So essentially, again, when it comes to the wherever you go, there you are phrase, I still did this for the first 6 to 8 months of my even time being off. I went from my job being so busy and scheduled to I'm going to have plans every single minute of every single day. And granted, it was fun stuff, right? I was hiking, I was diving, I was doing acro yoga, I was playing volleyball, but I had something, girl, for the first 6 months, like every day I woke up and like, I did not have a second to myself. And I realized after 6 months of doing that, yes, it was fun, but I started to like burn out on that too.
Yeah, but at this point, you're not aware that you're kind of doing this to yourself, right?
I'm not aware that I'm addicted to like being around people and that I can't be with my own thoughts. Yes. Like I just think it's the job that's the problem this whole time. And while that was a big factor, like there was a lot of internal turmoil and lack of, you know, awareness that I had at the time that I was running from, like, you know, just things I didn't want to think about or feel. Like I used to reject my femininity and I didn't want to have feelings. I saw that as a weakness. I worked, like I said, in all these male dominated industries. So I didn't want to lean into that. I was used to being this like go-getter. Mm-hmm. And so then I became the social nucleus of a Oahu. And, you know, again, it was like, I was doing things I loved. It's not like I was taking all this Adderall to go hike, you know? So I was tapering off of that. Mm-hmm. But I was still taking sleeping pills. I didn't know how to turn my mind off at night. I still had a very active racing mind. I started to eat a little bit cleaner, but there was still this unraveling and like unlearning of the way that I was.
So yeah.
That was like most of, let's say, 2023 into 2024. And what I finally decided in this time, by the way, I got rid of my expensive apartment. I put my stuff in storage and I was like subletting apartments and I was traveling. So like the first 3 or 4 months I was here in Hawaii, hiking, doing all this active stuff. Then I went and visited friends and like went to all these cool nature places, you know, took shrooms in nature, had a great time. I literally just enjoyed my life. Like I definitely started to slow down a little bit. And then when I came back to Hawaii, beginning of 2024, I always had this dream of going to Bali and getting yoga teacher certified. So that was like March of 2024. Yeah. So a little over 2 years ago is when this journey really like started to take a turn. And when I learned about the soul and spirituality and kind of started on my path to awakening and making real permanent changes in my life.
So how long were you in Bali?
So I went to Australia, New Zealand for a month, and then I went to Bali for a month.
Wow. And so that yoga practice, teaching or learning that certification, was that pretty life-changing there?
Yeah. So this was the interesting thing. At the time, I was so wired into loving Hawaii, and I had all my friends here, and I loved my life here, that I was taking this trip mainly because I thought I was eventually going to go back to another sales job and I would never have this opportunity to have this much flexibility or freedom in my schedule. So I really didn't want to leave Hawaii, right? Like I'd only been here for a year or two. I was in love with it. I loved my life. So it actually ended up being really challenging for me to be traveling internationally by myself for the first time while like I loved and adored my life here. I actually was really, really homesick.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I was really like kind of, it was weird because I wanted to be here. I'd see all the things my friends were doing and I'd want to be a part of it. And I didn't feel like I did well with making friends. Like Australians don't like me at all. And I got to Bali and I had a very different expectation of what Bali was versus what it is. Most people told me it was just like Hawaii, but cheaper. And you've been to Bali, yeah or no?
Yeah, twice.
Okay. So you know Bali. Mm. It's a lot different than Hawaii. It's, you know, at the time, this was like part of my breaking down patterns and structures and the way I thought. Like, I always had such high expectations of things, right? And I had I was very attached to outcomes, and I was very, this is how it should be. This is what I expect. This is how I deliver. Like, I always expected everyone else and everything else to operate that way. I get to Bali. It was nothing like what I thought. And I actually wanted to leave. I almost left before my yoga teacher program started.
Yeah, well, really. So it depends too, like where you stay. There's lots of different parts of Bali. So you just didn't feel good there?
I didn't feel good there. My nervous system felt really tense. I felt overwhelmed. I was in Ubud, and the place I was staying had like a lot of bugs. I don't do bugs. The bed was really hard, so I have trouble with like sleep. I was not comfortable. I went during rainy season, so like the sun wasn't out. It was super, really, really humid.
Ooh.
So I was just feeling like very like, it wasn't what I expected. I felt really physically uncomfortable, and I wasn't sleeping well, which was making it even hard, even with the sleeping pills. And I really wanted to be home. I was like over it. I was ready to go back. And then I got there and it wasn't what I expected. So I almost left. I ended up deciding to stay because I had already paid for this 200-hour yoga teacher program. It was a 3-week program.
Wow.
It was crazy. How do I say it? So I learned a lot about myself. That was really the start of this whole journey of like why I even met you, why I'm at these spiritual retreats. Mm-hmm. Yoga, as many people know it, is asana practice, right? It's the physical postures, but yoga itself is so much deeper than that. It's where I learned to meditate, where I learned rituals. It's a path to spirituality. It's the way you live your life. You know, there's different pillars and practices and, you know, just so many things that I was never taught that were not part of my life growing up in the Western world. You know, these Eastern practices of slowing down, softening, tapping into your balance of feminine.
Well, that was probably really uncomfortable for you to slow down.
It was extremely uncomfortable.
Right. So it's like of course the uncomfortable bed, the bugs, but like you were also doing something that you've never allowed your body to do.
Right. So we would have an hour of meditation every day at this yoga training. At the time, sitting there for 5 minutes, I remember feeling like bugs were crawling out of my skin. Like,
right.
Painful for me.
No wonder you wanted to leave. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was tough. So I was, and then things were surfacing, emotions, feelings, everything.
All the stuff you've been running from.
Yep. The way I treated myself, my body, how I was so hard. Like, I didn't ever sit with this. I didn't realize the way I was operating on this like automatic system that was ingrained in me. But like, I wasn't treating myself well at all. I was my own worst critic all the time.
Right. We all are until we learn.
Right.
Learn not to be.
Right. Until we learn to nurture ourselves and have compassion. And these were like, now looking back, it seems so simple and so obvious because I embody this in my everyday life.
Right.
These were mind-blowing truths that I was learning.
Wow. Yeah. So you stuck through it.
I stuck through it. And don't get me wrong, the whole 3 weeks were really challenging. There were a lot of strong personalities in that class. But what I learned in that class as well is that treat everyone and everything as your mirror, right? That was the first time I was exposed to that theory.
Oh, yes.
People that I had some, you know, maybe friction with or were butting heads with, I was also very headstrong at the time. And my way was the right way. That's what I always thought. I learned to be like, oh, wow, that person needs to be the center of attention all the time. This is so annoying. They're not letting anyone else talk. Oh, shit. Yeah. I do that all the time. There were so many moments where I was like, wow, I need to shut up more.
The mirror analogy. Yes. Like now it's like a belief system I hold, like the mirror. I talk about the mirror all the time, but yeah, I didn't know about the mirror analogy for till my 40s,
right?
You know?
Yeah. So all that was a huge thing I learned. You know, just there were so many things. I mean, I can name endless things, but basically throughout those 3 weeks, I learned I had a lot of exes that I held resentment to that like really treated me like crap in my life. And I now know that it was my own energy and anxious attachment style that was drawing in these avoidant men. But I was blaming everybody else for my problems. And I realized like this was all me creating this. Nobody else was putting this much pressure on me my whole life. It was literally me that couldn't
Oh my
accept being like,
gosh.
my baseline was here and I always had to exceed it. It was like an impossible standard to keep up.
Wow, what a beautiful gift. And also, like, these gifts come with discomfort. Like,
Yeah.
that's exactly what you needed. And I'm like, get to be proud of yourself for getting through
It
that
was hard.
discomfort.
I remember thinking everyone's like, oh, you're at this yoga retreat. I'm like, you have no idea how hard this is. This is the most like emotionally intense experience I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, yoga training in Bali, magical life. Like, that's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, no, it like ripped me a new one. It was like this whole discovering I didn't know I had all this pain inside. I didn't know I held on to all this resentment. I didn't know, I blamed my parents for things. I blamed my job. There were so many things that I didn't realize I was carrying. And I forgave myself too for being so hard on myself. I was like, all right, you got here and it's okay. Like everybody's a product of the way they were raised. And that's just what you know? And I used to be so hard on other people because I was so hard on myself.
You learn that's what happens. I love that you said I learned to forgive myself,
Yeah.
because that's something that's not talked about and taught, is self-forgiveness. So are you familiar, you have to be, with the Ho'oponopono prayer?
Yeah, of course.
So that's where how I learned about self-forgiveness, and
I
would
love
listen to
that.
that and practice. And I just taught it on my group call the other day. Like, when someone was being, it's we think we need to forgive other people, and that there's a place for that, but it first needs to come with self-forgiveness, and the freedom that comes from forgiving yourself for treating yourself so terribly and all the things, but loving it's, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you.
Yep.
And what more beautiful prayer and act of compassion can you give to yourself? And I love that we're talking about this because you're Miss Hawaii and the Hawaii girl. Anyway, so okay, so thank you for sharing that. Now, then what happens after the training?
Okay, so I came back from that training and I felt like a new person, like a different outlook on life. I came back to Hawaii with all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I wanted time to myself because I could be with my own thoughts. I found peace within. I was going on this just a different way of living. I looked at the world differently. It really started my journey toward awakening. And I even came back with like, I just understood people better. I knew how to not get, I used to have such a short temper. I used to get so fired up and everything was just like, everything just is. People are all doing the best that they can. And this isn't a reflection of me. Everybody's thinking so much more about themselves. Like, and I could just accept so much more. And I just felt everybody could, all my friends even here could see that I was really a different person. Like, it
Yeah.
really started me on this new path. Interestingly enough, and this isn't something that a ton of people know, but I'm more than happy to share it because it's a big, big, big part of my story. In spring of 2024, so now I get back to Hawaii for a few months. I'm starting to get settled in, like, again, get a new apartment here, right? Like, get this as my ground. I'm still figuring out what I want to do with my career and a way to make money. But at this point, I'm almost a year out of work and I'm like, I don't feel anywhere near ready to start working again. So I'm still navigating all that. I go back to Tampa and I actually had a trip planned and I hadn't been back in like a year. I kind of got triggered being there because now I live my life so differently for these, like, really in Hawaii, it was already very different, but then yoga made it even more slow paced, even more in flow. And I go back and I did what I always did. I hadn't seen everyone in a long time. So I had plans every single day, three times a day for 2 weeks. Everyone expect. And yes, I wasn't drinking, but I was just like, go, go, go. And I was listening to everyone complain about their work and all these. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is what I left behind. This. And I actually, it was a weird experience because I was like judging every, I should have been more compassionate, yet I found myself being like, how do these people live this way with all this pressure? What's wrong? What are they doing? How do they not see it? Right. It's kind of like, I don't know if I've heard this and I've seen this in some videos, but like sometimes when people first wake up and then they go back in their surroundings, it's like there's this judgment piece. There's this trying to like, I'm this spiritual guru. Like, you want to project all your knowledge, but that's not true spirituality. It's like learning how to accept and, you know, be patient with others, right? Like, not
force right
on them.
But when you go back into that, it's like you don't want to be in that anymore,
right?
But you kind of feel yourself remembering what it felt like to be like that, but you're like, no,
yes,
I don't. So I get it.
Exactly. So basically, I felt really tense there. I started to feel a lot of the emotions and familiar feelings. And I came back from that trip. And this is like so crazy to say, and it still kind of makes no sense. However, I fell into one more deep, dark night of the soul. This was 2 years ago. And I come back and it was like the slow decline of going into that place again, that dark place that I was three other times. And like I said, it was the same cycle of timing. It just came a few months later this time. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, I started feeling awful. I started feeling like, what's the point of all this? And I'm like, this time it was by far the worst one. So this is when I was about to really have my spiritual awakening. Didn't know that at the time, but it was bad. I was in this really like, okay, I don't drink anymore. I live in Hawaii. I do the life that I want. I'm not in the sales job. I'm not really taking much Adderall. Yes, I'm taking Ambien. I'm not realizing that's impacting me, but I'm thinking, what else can I really change? I'm like living my dream life and I'm still feeling this like cycle. Like, am I going to have to go through this every 2 years for the rest of my life where I question the entire meaning of everything? But that was the problem. I was still not understanding how everything was connected. The elements, my purpose for being here, the soul's journey, that we have past lives, that we choose these. I was missing this huge, huge point of all of it. It still felt like I wasn't connected to a higher power or anything else. And they, meaning the universe or whomever, needed to shake me to my core to be like, you're missing you're on the right track, but you're still missing a very big component, a very big puzzle.
Yeah. Wow. That had to feel really scary to like be going back there, feeling those familiar feelings. And then I can feel also the judgment you have of yourself of like, I'm living my best life. Why am I going back here again?
Yeah.
That's part of your soul's lesson too, right? Did you get that one?
I could not make sense of it. I was like, I started going to more therapists again. I started getting on antidepressants. Of course, the whole system is telling me that it's a mental health issue, right? It was a spiritual health issue. It was not a mental health issue. For the first time, though, that I was seeing therapists, this was the first time that anybody ever brought up, do you believe in God? What's your religion? Multiple people, not just my therapist. I mean, people I was speaking to about feeling this way. It was coming at me so, so, so strong this time. And I still was like, God, Schmod, there's no God. Because the way I viewed God is this, you know, punished, stricken male figure in the sky. That's all I knew. So I was like, now I think everything's God. I know everything's God. I know we're all part of God, right? But the spirituality that I knew was like this different. And I was like, no, that's not real. That's not how it is. And I rejected that. So long story short, I went down this really tough few months where, I mean, it was the worst one. I really was like, okay, I thought I would get out of this. I didn't think I was going to make it. I thought I was going to jump off the top of my building. I actually felt like I was going psychotic for a few months. Like really.
I'm so sorry that you had that experience. That sounds really, really terrifying and really, really hard.
Thank you. You know what though? It's like, I needed it because if it wasn't as intense, like when I talk about it now, it doesn't upset me. It doesn't feel like anything. I know that I needed that because I was missing a huge part of existence and the question that I was trying to answer.
Right. So it's like, I'm sure you adopt this belief because we're aligned. It's like everything that happens, happens for us, not to us. Right.
100%.
And it doesn't discount like that version of you that had to feel the depth of that pain and get through it. Like,
yeah,
you survived a lot of shit.
Yeah. And I really was like paralyzed for a while, mentally and physically, where I just, I had all these anxious thoughts. This is when the Ambien thing comes into place. And when I finally got off, I started having rebound insomnia. I couldn't even sleep with the Ambien. I was sending text messages in my sleep, having full-on conversations that I didn't remember. I started having stomach issues. Like, all of a sudden, it felt like my whole world was falling apart. But again, on paper, everything was great. And I could see that. I could recognize that. But I felt awful. Like, I felt like my body was falling apart. I felt like I was saying, and like, I really feel that part of my soul's path, now I know, was to like break some ancestral things, I believe, on like my maternal
stuff
side.
You were carrying that was not yours.
Yes, because none of the things I was saying were sounding like me. I didn't feel like me for the, I was gone. I was like, I don't want to live like this. This isn't me. This isn't Nicole. And I was just like, my mind, I actually felt like I was really going like batshit crazy. It was the weirdest experience, and it was rough, but that led me down the path of knowing that I had to get off Ambien. Basically, I had to. I there was this inner knowing that I could no longer. This drug was like, I was having long-term side effects, they say, of Ambien use, which was like memory problems, anxiety, depression. I realized when I really tracked it back, the first time any of this was ever triggered wasn't long after I had started taking it, right?
Wow.
There was all
because you took it for years and years and years.
8 years, every night.
Okay.
Every night. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I was just doing all this research, and that was like the one blaring issue that I hadn't stopped, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I actually ended up going to like a, let's call it a rehab place to get off Ambien, because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. And I went to this place on the Big Island close by. I was terrified, but I knew like I couldn't. I had tried over the years here and there to get off. I could never get off of it. And basically they took me off at cold turkey. But you're like monitored, and they're taking care of everything for you. And the craziest thing about this was, this house was like, when I say a rehab house, like most of the people that were there for alcoholism, right? Like they weren't necessarily equipped to treat people with Ambien use. Like they sold it and marketed it as that, but it wasn't necessarily that. However, by the grace of God, or whatever you want to call it, there was one other person in this house in this 30-day program who was on the end of his 30 days when I got there, and he had just gotten off Ambien after being on it for 12 years.
Oh, no way. I mean, of course.
It's like, and he was very, very religious, and he kept telling me, Nicole, you need to find God. And I still was rolling my eyes at this point. This was October of 2024. This was 8 months before I became Miss Hawaii. I was in this like, you know, crazy thing. Like, this is what I always say, like how quickly things can shift, because I was like suicidal a year before I became Miss Hawaii. And now everything is like perfect, you know? But I got there and I believed in the process only because I saw, and that is like not a coincidence. That is divine alignment.
Absolutely not. You know? Yeah. I love that's thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, universe.
Right. So I, and then within like 2 or 3 weeks, granted, I was barely sleeping, I was 100% back to normal, like me thriving. I felt like myself. I felt good. I felt happy. I still was navigating what I'm going to do for a career. Right. But I knew I was better. And what this led to, me being off the Ambien and me going through this like last really big crisis, this is what forced my spiritual awakening. I then had been already working with a girl that I met in my yoga training earlier that year. She's a psychic, and we had done several readings, and she had all these things we talked about. She had like diagnosed, and like not diagnosed, but like could read the energy of my soul. Like all these things, how I was so hard on myself. And that's what got me believing in energy work, essentially, because I knew that if she could see all of these details about my childhood and me that nobody else knew, like this was real. Like this was a reading with her in Bali and me on the Zoom, right?
Yeah. Wow. So you were like, okay, I feel this. This feels
I felt real it for me. And I started to believe in what else is there that I can't see between like all of these little alignments. And then I got off Ambien. So then I was off like all these prescriptions now. I was fully in my body. I was doing things naturally. I knew that I had to have Natalie. That was my spirit coach. We had talked leading up to this, and I was trying to get her to help me. And she's like, Nicole, I need to come there, and we need to like do an intensive week together. And everybody I told about this, like my family, my friends were like, it was going to be expensive. I was going to fly her in from Bali to spend a week with me. Everyone's like, what are you going to do? What is she going to do? And I knew that I needed her here the way I knew I needed to come to Hawaii. It was like, I didn't care that it was expensive. I didn't care. Like, I knew that I needed her to come here. So after I got back from the Big Island, after being there for a month, December of 2024, I had her come out here and spend a full week with me. And she channeled a one-on-one retreat for me from the universe to show me what I needed to see and wake me up.
And how was that experience?
That was the most transformational week of my entire life.
Whoa.
We spent 5 full days, like 10, 12-hour days together doing, it's hard to even explain what we did, energy healing and chakra balancing and meditations and soul readings and conversations and certain places and arranging the energy of my house. And that is when I truly like healed. And that's when the real shift happened. That's when I call that when I had my spiritual awakening, because that's when I truly started to see more stars in the sky. I understood how everything had exactly a reason for why it happened and how it all had to be that way. And why I kept like burning out and going back into these cycles, because I wasn't changing anything. And like the universe nudges you and gives you whispers, but if you ignore them and you keep doing it, like you're going to keep crashing and burning. And that's what I was doing until I really started to unravel.
You had to surrender.
Yeah.
Wow. And you met this woman at the Bali yoga teacher training that you almost left.
Yep. And I always say she's the single most impactful person in my entire life, because that week is where I met my true self and my soul. And I understood like that I understood that I didn't need so much certainty all the time. That was a big message of that. Like, it was like, Nicole, just lean into what's here now, what feels good. You don't need to have your 10-year career plan. You can be in flow. And that was like a huge, huge, huge message. There was a lot about self-love that came up. That was like really the beginning of like this whole new, this life that I'm living now.
Wow. That's incredible. Oh my gosh. I'm so grateful for the time that I got to spend in conversation with Nicole. She's such a light and her energy is so beautiful. I know if you listened, you could feel it. And it's exactly why I wanted her to come on the podcast. I just felt this from her in Sedona. There's something about talking to someone who's actually living proof that you can rebuild your whole life. When you've been in the deepest pains, the darkest nights of the soul, you can come to alignment. If today's episode stirred something in you, if you're sitting there thinking about the life you actually want versus the one you're settling for, I'd love to hear about it. Send me a DM, tag me in your story, subscribe to the podcast, let me know what landed. I would love to hear from you guys. And I'm going to link everything in the show notes for Nicole, but go follow her. She's at Miss Hawaii 2025, and she also has her the 6-degree soul, her travel excursions that she plans. Like, I literally want to just go plan a trip to have her lead me on one of these, because she's just so amazing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.